CBS News. I'm Jim Taylor. Back on American soil. The bodies of four Americans killed in Libya, including that of Ambassador Chris Stevens, returning to Joint Base Andrews for a solemn ceremony. President Obama.
How he believed in Libya and its people, and how they loved him back.
Also attending, Vice President Biden and Secretary of State Clinton with words for Ambassador Stevens.
During the revolution in Libya, he risked his life to help protect the Libyan people from a tyrant. And he gave his life helping them build a better country.
Officials are investigating whether the assault was a coordinated terrorist attack that took advantage of protests in the Muslim world over an anti-Muslim video.
Their sacrifice will never be forgotten. We will bring to justice those who took them from us.
Right now in Yemen, the sound of demonstrations, protests outside the U.S. Embassy in Tunis, and at least two are dead, 29 others injured there. What would those year-end automatic spending cuts really entail? The White House is saying plenty.
Congress never meant these draconian cuts to take place. It was a bizarre deal Democrats and Republicans came up with to try to pressure each other to compromise on deficit reduction. Now that the end-of-the-year deadline is approaching, the administration has laid out just how bad the impact would be on defense, law enforcement, food programs, and everything else, while still insisting this shouldn't happen and Congress needs to find another way.
And did you watch the party's conventions? Who'd you really like?
A new CBS News New York Times poll says Michelle Obama, Ann Romney, and former President Clinton got welcome receptions from Americans. Among registered voters, Mrs. Romney got 32%, Mrs. Obama got 61%, and Mr. Clinton 66%. But CBS News Director of Survey Sarah Dutton says most people really vote for the candidate, not the spouse or the famous supporter.
It's much more about the candidate's qualities and positions on policy issues that are going to matter to voters. And, of course, this year, it's all about the economy.
The polls agree that is the big issue. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Retail sales are up, so are consumer prices. Moody's Analytics economist Scott Hoyt says higher gas prices account for a lot of both increases.
Inflation rose pretty significantly in August, but it was mostly an energy and to some extent a food story. Core CPI growth remained quite modest in the month.
Happened in a small Illinois town in 1957. A 7-year-old girl snatched from a street corner. Today, a 72-year-old former Washington State police officer convicted of murdering that second grader. One of the oldest cold cases to ever go to trial. Testimony included descriptions of a deathbed accusation from Jack McCulloch's mother that her son committed that crime when he was 17 years old. One more hour of trading this week on Wall Street. The Dow right now up 45 points. NASDAQ's up 32. S&P 500 up 10. This is CBS News.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Progressive Insurance presents Flo's newest song. We compare rates to give you confidence.
We compare rates to find you a great deal, so you can be even more confident. Not that you need more confidence. I'm sure you're a great person with great posture, and you probably look really good in corduroy pants, which isn't easy.
Comparing rates to help you save. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Contraception. Some interesting results in this study from the Society for Women's Health Research.
I'm Gary Nunn. About 40% of the women surveyed say they don't use any type of birth control.
The women that were surveyed were not completely aware of their access to contraception and how to use contraception appropriately.
Dr. Jennifer Wider is medical advisor to the Society for Women's Health Research.
They need to have access to accurate information regarding contraception. They need to prepare a list of questions when going to visit their doctor, and they need to utilize their health options.
The study also finds uninsured women usually fail to seek attention of a health care provider until it's too late. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Today, the 150th anniversary of the bloodiest day of combat ever on U.S. soil. National Park Service kicking off 4 days of events marking the Civil War Battle of Antietam near Sharpsburg, Maryland. More than 23,000 Union and Confederate soldiers reported killed, wounded, or missing. 12 hours of fighting, no clear winner. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Last season was the Gulf's best tourism season in years.
All because so many people came to Louisiana.
They came to see us in Florida.
Make that Alabama.
Make that Mississippi.
Hi, this is Karen Sock from Biloxi, Mississippi.
This is Ron Hardy from Panama City, Florida.
Hey, this is Shaul Zisson in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
This is Bill Kearney from New Orleans, Louisiana.
The best part of the Gulf is wherever you choose. And now's a great time to discover it.
This is a cordial invitation to visit the Gulf Coast.
Brought to you by BP and all of us. Call the Gulf home.
Not long ago, I went to Wells Fargo to talk about ways they could help with my business's cash flow.
It often takes 3 days or more for merchants to get paid from any credit or debit card transactions.
Exactly.
Well, we could set you up with a merchant services account where you could get paid as soon as the next business day for most transactions.
That was a conversation worth having, and the $100 reward for opening a new merchant services account made me feel even better.
Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. See banker for offer details. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
It's Friday. We got things to talk about because we have Karen Vealey in the studio as I speak, and we're going to have, pretty sure Jim D's back from Toronto. We'll have Palm Theater.
And now, here's Bill Bittica.
Yay. Karen wanted to jump in already. Hello? Go ahead. That's fine.
Sorry. I didn't realize you had me turned off.
Oh, what were you saying?
I was noticing you had your Palm Theater T-shirt on today.
I did today. You know, I wear my Cal Coast News T-shirt, but I haven't been given one yet.
I'll have to make some.
Thank you very much. All right. So, because you could get that funny little paint they put on there, you know. Here's the thing that happened last night, and I got to tell you, I'm stunned. Thousands upon thousands of people across the entire United States auditioned, tried out for, and competed in America's Got Talent. America's Got Talent. We're talking about Americans that have talent, are we not, if we talk about America's Got Talent? You know who won? Dogs. The Dogs won.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Talk is cheap. With Bill Bittica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Some people are afraid to get an MRI because they think their only option is being put into a narrow tunnel. This is no longer true. San Luis Diagnostic Center just installed a new 3 Tesla Ultra High Field MRI system with an opening that is 40% larger and much shorter than other systems. Now even the most claustrophobic person can have an MRI without concern. It produces crisper, clearer images that can diagnose disease far earlier, and scans take half as long. As a diagnostic facility dedicated to outpatient care, San Luis Diagnostic Center strives to make sure your appointments are on time and at your convenience. When your doctor tells you you need an MRI, take control of your health care. And call San Luis Diagnostic Center at 542-9700 before someone else chooses for you. All major insurances are accepted.
Hello.
Most smokehouse barbecue has been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, 6 kinds, maybe one of 4 burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Here I am. Here I am. I was thinking about Moe's and having a big old yummy something. All right, here's what we got to do. We got to do our flashback, our highlight in history, and our whole thing today. Our highlight in history: on September 14th, 1814, Francis Scott Key was moved to write a poem after witnessing how an American flag flying over Maryland's Fort McHenry withstood a night of British bombardment during the War of 1812. The poem, Defense of Fort McHenry, later became, of course, the words of the Star-Spangled Banner. On this date, 1972, the family drama The Waltons premiered on CBS. In 1986, President Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy appeared together on radio and television to appeal for a national crusade against drug abuse. Just say no. We should have said something else. 1 year ago, a key government panel released a report saying the BP bore ultimate responsibility for the worst offshore oil spill in U.S. history, which wasn't really hard to deduce. Our thought for today, Adlai Stevenson, American statesman, I venture to suggest that patriotism is not a short and frenzied outburst of emotion, but a tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime. Maybe some other things we can think about. Birthdays today, actor Sam Neill is 65, actress Faith Ford is 48, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev is 47, actor-writer-director Tyler Perry is 43, and actor Sebastian Sozzi is 30. Happy birthday to them and to you if it is yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
Together again, Karen Vili, Bill Benica, and this is our Calcos News Week in Review, and I thank you for being here, young lady.
Thank you.
All right, now, let me start where you want to start today. That's how I look at it, and where might that be?
Okay, let's look a little bit at the Atascadero story that Dan posted yesterday.
All right, just a second, please. All right. This was yesterday.
It was regarding, you have a park, they call it the Sunken Gardens Park.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
We had a story come out a couple weeks ago about police officers doing searches of teenagers at the park, asking them to go through their backpacks. And a local attorney had said that he did not think that was legal. And the police said, you know, we can't arrest people for lying. Well, the feds can. If you lie to a fed, you can get arrested for lying to a fed. But generally, if you lie to a police officer, there's only certain reasons you can get arrested. So David Broadwater, a local activist out of the Atascadero area, asked the police, what is your reasoning behind this? And what are you arresting people for? And they finally came back with, well, you know, we can't arrest people that lie about who they are. And he said, could you tell me if that's what the arrests were made for in the park? And they didn't respond that way. They said, these are the laws where we can arrest people for lying. So it's kind of another interesting thing is there's a local dentist that sits there He has an office there on the park, and he did an opinion piece, and he says there's a ton of crime at the Sucking Gardens Park, and that there are many issues there, and he wants more police presence there. But then the issue comes, should the police have a presence there to reduce crime, or should they be doing sweeps and searching junior high school kids?
Well, here's what's interesting, because they had a doctor that wrote an editorial piece and said, you know, he said, I have an office right here, you know, overlooking the Sunken Gardens. And he said, there really is a problem. You know, there's sex and drugs and rock and roll, you know, out there, and it's not right. And so I would think, you know, like look at like a while back, there was problems in Lila Kaiser Park in Morro Bay with young people. And so the police had a greater presence there for, you know, a few weeks or a month or whatever it was. They were there every day, a couple times a day. And they eventually cleaned that up. It you know, they or forced them someplace else to do it, whatever it may be, however you want to look at it. So if it's kind of like to me, if now I'm not saying that this idea of saying I want to see your ID, I'm still a little bit baffled by that myself. I'm not sure I understand that, but I'm just saying that if the police say, okay, we have a problem in an area, we're going to step up our presence there, that's not surprising to me.
No, and I think stepping up the presence is a very good thing. I think going up to teenagers and searching backpacks, though, does seem to cross a different type of line.
I agree with that. It seems to me like an illegal search and seizure. It really does. I mean, I've tried to think of it any other way, but I can't think of it any other way.
And I remember back when I was in high school, I went to Rigetti High School. And the year before I started, they'd had a killing at the school. And they had police officers on the school grounds all the time. I think there were usually two.
Uh-huh.
And there were no problems when I was going. I mean, there were very few fights even.
Right.
But when you have police officers instead of guards on the school grounds at the end of aisles, it makes a difference.
Yeah, it sure does. It is interesting, and I wish we had somebody with a better explanation. Now, you had somebody make a comment, a lawyer, right, that said he didn't think it was quite right?
No, and he said you can't just search somebody without probable cause. And he said just
so can they say probable cause is you showed up at the Sunken Gardens and you're a teenager?
And especially a teenager in plaid shorts and knee socks.
Oh, not that one. But that's interesting, you know.
And I don't think you can profile by the way someone looks either. I think probable cause has to be more than, okay, I don't like that jacket you're wearing, or I don't like the tattoos, or, you know, different things.
I said this to you, you know, and I was not jokingly, really. You know, back when the police department was right there, you know, in the building, I'm sure they had a lot fewer problems. You know, there were probably no problems at all. But then, of course, they had to move because of the earthquake.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on to other things that are going on. Well, I'm going to bring up a cohort in crime here. Dick Mason left KPRL, and I don't know why I heard this. Do you know how long ago he left?
He left about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, because somewhere in that time, I had heard that he was leaving the state and going to Oregon or someplace.
Yes, and he has an offer in on a radio station. They're under contract. He's running the station now. He's already got a purchasing agreement. The owner of the station had passed away.
Wow.
So it... It does appear that he has a job there.
Apparently Kevin Wills was paying him pretty good. If he could go buy a radio station.
And I talked to Joe Benson earlier, who said that when he first started working at KPRL, this is Joe Benson told me, when Dick Mason had quit, he had gone on vacation. And while on vacation, according to Joe, he sent a fax over saying, I will not be back, 3 days into his vacation. Joe then took over, and then when Joe had a heart attack and became sick, Joe says that he was fired the day of his multi-bypass surgery.
Which I seem to recall that he was.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he had the surgery, and they said, okay, well, you're not going to be back in time to maintain this position or something like that.
So they fired him and put Dick Mason in. But, you know, Joe Benson has told me that the station has been very... pushy on what guests you have on, what type of agenda you try to promote. I've had other people call in. I had another gentleman that quit there probably about 6 months ago, used to do the Friday Day Show on KPRL on Sound Off, and he said there was some promoting of political ideas and some pressure from the station owner, Kevin Wills. Now, Dick Mason is currently saying none of this is true, and everybody, you know, Kevin Wills never tried to control anyone there. The one gentleman told me that he was even given a settlement to not talk about what had been going on at the station.
Now, Dick Mason actually wrote and wrote you the Riot Act, read you the Riot Act, wrote you the Riot Act.
Originally about Kelly Gearhart, which is kind of surprising enough. He was very angry that we were writing about Kelly Gearhart, he got on Mike Brendler for writing that the city had not been making Kelly Gearhart pay his fees, which the feds have now determined was happening. He wrote he really got on us for going after the city and Kelly Gearhart for the we claimed it was a Ponzi scheme. Yes, he has read us the Riot Act from day one. And every story that he's read us the Riot Act on has ended up being correct. Now, the one that's not provably correct yet, he did not like the story about Lisa Solomon either and said that that was gossip.
Well, here, this says Dick Mason here, I appreciate the compliments and well wishes. Unfortunately, the story about me is largely inaccurate. Had you read that one?
Yes, yes.
Okay. By the way, but here's the point. I don't really want to get into the fray of this because I've only met Kevin Wills. I have the faintest idea. And so, and I've met Joe Benson and I knew Dick, you know. But anyway, so I'll just say this. I wish him well, whatever. What else can you say? Who the heck knows? I can say this. Nobody's ever told me what to say or not say or who to have on or what not to have on here.
And I don't know if he actually, well, I think he might have had, because someone told me that they weren't allowed to talk to us and that there were certain things. So I think there were people that they could not have on. You know, so from what I've heard. And again, I've talked to people that were there. And the other interesting thing is several people that had worked with KPRL had told me that he went in Monday and said, I will be gone by Friday. So he didn't give much of a notice, which usually in radio is not a sign of getting along real well.
Usually. As a matter of fact, that's even kind of weirder. Dick could do that. To have a 1 week notice, I've never heard of. You either say, I'm going to give you a 2 week notice, or you say, I'm gone, goodbye. It's usually one of the two. Or they say to you, goodbye, you're gone. However that may work. But I've never quite heard of that. But anyway.
So. Media can be very contentious.
And media has its, okay, the media. Anyway, we wish Dick Mason a lot of luck and good wishes with his new station up there. I find that fascinating. You know, of course, Dick owned US 98 here in San Luis Obispo for many years, and it was the most successful radio station financially that was on the air for years. Bar none. You know, and so Dick did a great job of that. All right, now let's go on to other things that we need to talk about because there's all kinds of stuff out there. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I want to. Here's this thing we're doing again, you know, and we can talk about it, but I'm not qualified to talk about this, nor are you probably. But you have a lot of input on Calcos News about this seismic testing that's going to go on, and. This is what my take has been. I've said this, but I could be totally wrong. You know, people talk about larvae and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, maybe sound could affect that. I don't have any idea. What I was concerned about is if PG&E said, what we're going to do is we're going to start off small, you know, with small noises and increase them, you know. And in my opinion, this is just me, but I could be wrong. I'm not a fisherman. I would think that would drive away the fish. My biggest concern was, with all the problem our fishing fleets are having, would they come back? You know, that's what I worry about. If they actually get them to leave, will they come back?
And that is a big concern. This is a big quandary because there's both sides. We need to do the seismic testing. We have to make sure that it's safe. And we don't want to have any effect on the wildlife. Or this isn't any effect. They're talking EIRs and the different documents show quite a bit of death in the ocean.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting. Here's the obvious thing, question that we all have in our minds, I hope, is there a certain number of faults they can find or possible earthquake events that could be caused by what the faults could generate that they're going to say we're going to shut the plant down?
I don't know. I think what they're wanting to do, and I don't know where it'll go from there, they want to do this before they relicense the plant. But there's two. They're not looking for new faults. They're looking for the reoccurrence value, I think, primarily at the one fault, at the two faults. Because you can often go look at a site and see how often it reoccurs on a regular basis and how big the earthquakes were.
So I'm trying to remember what the numbers were that they said the Hosgri fault could generate. I forget what they said it could, but PG&E has claimed that Diablo Canyon, even though it's sitting right on top of it, could withstand whatever the earthquake would be. That's the claim that's been made in the past. But
And they say that it's built to withstand that type of earthquake. And I think it's, I don't know what type of ground, the type of ground you're on has a major effect on what you can withstand also.
Right, anyway. All right, so it's interesting, and I can understand where a lot of people are really kind of upset about it. Mostly, I have to say this, the fishermen are just having wow, problems trying to make a living these days, and that's the ones I really worry about.
And I received an email from someone that did a video in Peru of a similar incident, and they said the beaches were covered in dead porpoises and dead fish, and it smelled, and there was a big problem afterwards.
Well, now, but here's a question I have to ask again. Now, maybe I'm just retarded here on this thing. If you just all of a sudden went kabloomy with this sound thing, I would see where that would probably damage animals. But once again, if you start off small, it'd be like me trying to get you out of this room. If I start the volume low on something and then just keep increasing it, eventually you're going to go, I can't stand this, I'm leaving the room. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I wonder how smart fish are.
I don't know, but you would think if there was a noise that was bothering them, they would swim away from the noise.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't swim away from it. They wouldn't swim to it. Anyway, this is the part I don't get about the whole thing. But people smarter than I say, they could kill some fish. But, okay, we'll see. We had another recall of fruit, and this was cantaloupe samples from a Fresno-based company where it contained salmonella. And so there's this 21-state recall has been initiated. So you got bum cantaloupes out there again. I don't know why all of a sudden. How come we went for years without having a single piece of fruit go bad or vegetable, and now we've had, five in the last 2 years?
I have no idea.
All right. The more pigs, I guess. So anyway, on Thursday, they said the no illnesses have been reported. Let me see if I can tell you. Let's see. The DFI Marketing Corporate Volunteer called 28,000 cartons of cantaloupe containing between 6 and 18%. Cantaloupe were packed in a DFI brand carton, and 826 California West Side is stamped in black on a carton, which says you probably didn't buy a whole carton of watermelons anyway. So that's not going to do you any good. And they don't provide any more information than that, huh? Do they say what stores they were?
No. On this one, it was very vague. I bet it's bad for the guys that have cantaloupe that aren't doing any problems.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know what to say about your dang cantaloupe, but if they're not identifying it, that's kind of a problem. Now, this was a interesting thing, this story about the sea otters, and they say that the sea otters, because they eat kelp, and therefore more kelp grows, is that the idea?
Well, no, they eat sea urchins.
Sea urchins
just love kelp, and they can eat a ton of kelp, and they are destroying the kelp fields. And remember, the otters used to be endangered. And there was a very low amount of otters, and they were saying that that's helped increase global warming because the kelp is a major.
Gotcha.
It really helps helps the environment, helps the atmosphere. And so the idea is the sea otters are a very important component to having less global warming. It was kind of an interesting, but it was kind of also how when you take out one type of creature, the two gentlemen from one of the UCs said, this is an issue when you take out one creature, another creature gets overpopulated, and it can have a much bigger effect on the entire world than just in that little ecosystem.
I think we've possibly learned that we as human beings can screw things up just for fare thee well and have done a successful job so far of doing that. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more on our weekly review of what's going on CalcoastNews.com.
No matter what time of year it is, Farm Supply is always in season. Stop in and stock up on your favorite home, garden, and ranch products. Hi, this is Jeff with Farm Supply. Whether you're looking to keep your garden healthy this fall or you need a few more jackets to keep your family toasty, Farm Supply is your local source for quality products. And don't forget, our experts are always on hand to answer your questions on anything from pet care to irrigation. Check out FarmSupplyCompany.com for a full list of our fall clinics and events, like our tomato tasting, Saturday, September 15th at 10 a.m. at our San Luis store. You'll have the opportunity to sample numerous varieties of tomatoes. Steve Goto will introduce you to new varieties most people have never tried and uncover the hidden secrets of tomatoes. We welcome you to stop by any of our Central Coast locations for great deals on the products you know and love. And don't forget, Farm Supply is a locally owned cooperative. Visit one of our locations in Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, or Buellton. At Farm Supply, we have everything you need for the farmer in you.
Allison Krause and Union Station, featuring Jerry Douglas.
When you say
September 27th at Chumash Casino Resort. The Paper Airplane Tour 2012. Reserve seats on sale now at Club Chumash, ShumashCasino.com, and by phone at 1-800-585-3737. Go to AllisonKrause.com for more info.
Can I permanently lose my hearing from exposure to loud noise? Yes. Permanent hearing loss can result from prolonged exposure to loud music over 85 decibels, such as lawnmowers, power tools, blenders, and hair dryers, which are around 90 decibels and are dangerous for longer than 30 minutes. 30 million Americans have hearing loss. 1 in 3 develop their hearing loss as a result of exposure to noise. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great weekend.
Karen Vealy, Bill Benica, and we're doing Cal Coast News Week in Review, and I thank you for joining me today. This is 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo, and this is Talk is Cheap. Let's talk about your meeting last week, because remember you were going to be involved in that thing, and you didn't know how long that was going to last, and it turned out to be the longest meeting that's ever occurred in the history of the world.
It started at 8:30 in the morning, and they did take breaks, but it went till 1:20 at night. Now, the interesting thing was, well, there was a number of interesting things. Was, for those that don't know what this is about, the Water Board was having a hearing to determine if the South San Luis Obispo district is responsible for a spill of raw sewage into the ocean, paying fines because it was mismanagement, or if it was an act of God. And so the there was a lot of testimony. It started off with Bill Thoma. And Bill Thoma, you know, named it, said, oh, a lot of the wiring was replaced in the 80s. It was waterproof, and there was a breaker box, this type of breaker box right there. Well, then diagrams came up, and the plant manager at the time said, no, the breaker was in another room. It was another type of breaker box. And we'd had two fires. We'd had so much problem with that wiring. And none of that, you know, basically refuting everything he said, and also several of the board members And for those that haven't been to a water board meeting, it's not like other board meetings. You've got an unusually intelligent group of board members. Very, you know, mm-hmm. math, and they'll somebody will testify, and then they each at the end have a chance to speak. And they'll go, what law did you get that from? And they'll say, and it goes, well, here's how it really reads. You know, that type of thing.
So Bill Toma, from Toma Electric, I assume.
That was his number, that was his primary witness.
Okay, now, so did he do the wiring?
I don't think he did the wiring. He was testifying for Walz.
As an expert.
The interesting thing is they also said that the sanitation district had plenty of money to pay these fines, and it was also brought up in court if there's fraud found that John Walz and the Walz Group could be responsible for coming up with these fines where it won't even come against the district. So there is then the interesting thing was there's been allegations of criminal activity and a judge has already ruled that there is likely to be, you know, a investigation into criminal when the civil is over. A judge in Sacramento. And it's possible that John Walz and several of the board members could eventually be under a criminal investigation regarding this. No one primarily involved in the plant testified except for the prosecution. Now, they subpoenaed the plant manager at the time, Jeff Appleton, who had before backed Walz, and he pretty well said that, you know, that the place was a mess, that the wiring wasn't done, that the board would not fix things, that he was so desperate that he took a handful of burnt wires and said, you've got to fix this. This is a fire hazard. This is a problem. And he was completely ignored. Testifying for Walz was a Walz Group employee for the district. And he said, I'm here as the district, and I'm the most knowledgeable person about the district. The interesting thing is I've been to, you know, a dozen or more water board meetings or sanitation board meetings and never seen this man. I see John Walz and a man named Zender is with us, and there's a female from Walz Group. And I asked several of the employees from the plant, and they said, well, we have our Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday meeting. We never see this guy either. He's not a regular. But he was testifying as the most knowledgeable. And the board pretty well ripped him apart also. So I have, it didn't go well for the Walz Group, and no one, again, John Walz didn't testify on his behalf. The people that he had working for him, primarily at the plant, didn't testify on his behalf. So it was a very strange hearing.
You know what else is weird? I'm trying to imagine this thing. You got burnt funny wires and all this stuff. I mean, you hear about homes that were built in the 1800s that maybe, you know, they were using some kind of funny material for wire, and they have a short and get a fire in the wall. Most things, you don't have big wiring problems, you know. I mean, if it's reasonably wired, you know, and you would think that a sewer plant would be, it's just weird, all that whole wiring affair.
And the other big thing was that Walz Group had been paid to regrade the plant, and they did it pretty well backwards. They made the pump room, the underground section, the lowest point at the plant. So even when there wasn't a major rain event, that area would be covered in water on a regular basis. So they built up a lip around it. But a major rain event meant it went over the lip they built around the pump room. But the dramatic testimony by Jeff Appleton of going down there in waist-high sewage, trying to get this thing working, trying to get the pump. He talks about it shooting out the wall socket, shooting out the light fixtures, sewage, and shooting in the corner of the walls as he's down there trying to open a safety valve. It sounded very disgusting.
It sounds disgusting as you tell it.
And you'd probably never be able to.
Jeez. All right, let's move on to AWOL Abel. I can't take any more of that. All right. Abel Maldonado. So this is an interesting story that you've written, and this has to do with the fact that that Abel Maldonado. Now, this is funny because before you wrote this, I had heard this from a number of different people that they were supposed to have Abel Maldonado show up at something, and he didn't show up. And that's weird because I really have no connection to it. I'm not part of any committee or anything. But I had heard from people that, you know, that was weird that Abel Maldonado wasn't showing up for stuff.
And I had started writing the story back in May because I'd had several complaints from different groups saying he scheduled to speak, he canceled an hour before, or he canceled within hours. And many of these were debates. So if you have a debate planned and you've sold tickets and you have this big group of women and suddenly you have one person for the debate, or sometimes Abel sends his daughter Well, they don't want to hear his daughter debate. They want to hear Abel Maldonado debate.
He would send his daughter?
He sent his daughter and his manager to some of these events to speak or do different things. But I had been getting complaint after complaint of people saying, we want to know how he stands. We want to know what he stands for. Now, I was told when he canceled this last one that he did say he was worried about being taped for his comments getting out. If you're running for public office, don't you want people to know how you stand on the issues?
This is weird. It's like if, let's say, if Romney and Obama decide to debate, and then Obama sent his daughters. Sit here. You go. Okay. That's very strange. But, yeah, that's I don't understand either. But he said all of this he said was family problems. So Lydia Thompson, who's a member of North County Tea Party, said, well, if the guy's got that many problems that he has to take care of his family, he shouldn't probably be in this race to begin with because he's got too many problems. So they're not too happy at all with this man.
And the other interesting thing, and I've been getting these emails from conservatives for some time saying I'm either going to vote for Lois Capps, primarily because they're afraid if Maldonado gets back in, they'll have someone that will not be open to constituents, and then he'll be the incumbent, and he has more chance of winning. So some are saying, and I'm talking some party leaders, are claiming they're going to vote for Lois Capps to make sure he doesn't get elected. Others, such as Lydia with the Tea Party here, Lydia Thompson, she plans on leaving it blank unless he starts becoming transparent and telling people, talking to his constituents and telling him how he looks at the different issues and answering the tough questions. It's very shocking when a politician doesn't answer questions.
Yeah, politicians usually have too much to say. I mean, that's usually how it works. You know what I mean? People say, oh, shut up. I've heard enough of this. That's how I'm looking at the next 2 months. Oh, help. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Let's go to this story because we haven't done this story today, and that's more by professional surfer Dustin Christopher Ray, who I know nothing about, also known as D-Ray, passed away last week at the age of 39. He's had problems in the past, apparently, with drugs and stuff, and so they're not sure at this point. Two of his fiance and the mother of two of his children was killed in a car accident. So he has two children now that are orphans, right?
He has three children total, and two of them, yes, are orphans. I think the mother is going to raise the children. The interesting thing about this gentleman is he was a world-class surfer. He won major events. He's a legend in the surfing industry. And he did a film, I think, back in 2002 or something, 2000, regarding his problems with substance abuse.
2000, yeah.
And it was he's done several films. So he's a fairly, with his substance abuse and his surfing, and he was a pretty, in the surfing industry, he's a pretty well-known, he's famous in the surfing world.
Okay, now a friend of his, Alzheimer,
As
founder, photographer Mike Jones has organized a memorial paddle-out scheduled for September 29th at 11 a.m. at Morro Rock, one of Ray's favorite haunts. In addition, he has set up a memorial page on Facebook while also requesting donations be sent to assist Ray's mother, who is now responsible for the children's care. Where do these donations go to, do we know?
Is
it on the Facebook page?
There's links to it on the Facebook page. And one of the interesting things is, and I was at a restaurant about a week ago or a little less than a week ago in Morro Bay, I think it was over the weekend, and somebody was asking me, or maybe it was Monday, they were asking, there was a paddle out that day too, it was probably the same gentleman. And someone mentioned it was someone, a surfer that had died in Morro Bay. So I think they're going to do a more organized paddle out now.
Oh, I see. Okay. We had, of course, the tragedy of this Sierra Vista doctor who was killed, Dr. Horseman, on his bicycle. And it's still a thing. I said this to you. I don't understand exactly how you can get to the end of Ontario Road and then start to go on to South Higuera and not see a truck that's coming. I really wonder what was going on with that. But anyway, so, he hit the front side of the truck, right front part of the truck, which means the truck was about to get on the, I assume it was going onto the freeway southbound. And we don't know how this happened, but this is what's happened. He was 39 years old.
Right. Within a days of that, someone died in Santa Barbara County, too. Santa Barbara is doing a pretty aggressive campaign they started. I read about it in News Hawk today. They're going after bicyclists that are endangering themselves. So they're ticketing bicyclists trying, and I don't know what happened in this one accident, but there are, as a reporter, there are so many bike auto collisions, you don't write most of them.
Right.
And it is getting to be a fairly dangerous thing in this community.
Here's the problem, of course, with that. And people want to point fingers. Well, but you have to point fingers in both directions.
Yes.
That's what you really do. There's people that have no concept of what a bicycle's rights are. You know, a bicyclist's rights are on the road. They just don't know, and they just get annoyed at the fact they're there. And then there's bicyclists who just say, fine, I'm going to blow through stop signs. I'm going to blow through lights. I'm going to blow through everything. And that's what they do.
And they do have, you know, when they're on your right side and you're getting ready to turn into something, they can. I've almost hit one not too long ago that was just coming up real fast on my right. And I don't always remember to look for a vehicle on my right side when I'm turning in. You look. But when a bicycle's just flying, I almost hit him. And so it is something that we, as you know, the auto driver and the bicyclist need to both be aware.
Right. And you know, I hate to say this, but I don't see this really righting itself very soon. I don't think it's going to happen overnight that this understanding of the two things are going to work. I just don't think. And the other thing, too, that I find very weird is, but that's okay. I mean, I'm not going to complain because I don't have to go to the DMV. But you don't. You know, people have their license renewed so often now, and the laws change, and the laws for bicyclists have changed, and people have, like, I was behind a bicyclist yesterday downtown, and he took control of the lane because he was going as fast as the speed limit allowed, which a bicyclist allowed to do, you know, but you hear people honking at him and stuff and saying, well, what are you doing in front of me, you know what I mean, what are you hugging me out over on the right-hand side? They don't have to be on the right-hand side. If they're downtown San Luis Obispo and they're going 25 miles an hour, they don't have to try to be on the right-hand side and let people pass them. But people don't understand that because, and I really mean this, I think there's two reasons nowadays. There's one because we don't have driver's ed in schools anymore. You know, that's gone. And the other thing is because people get their license renewed over and over again by mail, and they don't have to ever pick up that handbook and read it. You know, and I think that's really part of the problem myself. I think that's the problem.
And I think some, you know, I like the idea that they're trying to put a bike path in from Napomo or Los Osos to Napomo with a lot of it being off the road.
Right, right.
And I think something like that would be very beneficial.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the Bob Jones bike trail has worked out super duper fab. And what they're doing is, but even as we try to expand this bike trail, eventually they want to make it so that this you're not going to be using Ontario Road, if I'm not mistaken. They want to do it on the other side of the freeway and get land permits to build a bike path that'll go right to, San Luis Bay Drive. And then you can go down Ontario Road. Obviously, it'd be much safer, but there's a new rural law that just passed, that just went into effect the other day, that says that you have to give bicyclists 3 feet. You know, when you're going around them, when you're going by them in a car, you have to give them 3 feet. Now, I don't know how that's going to work exactly. It depends on where you are. I mean, if you're out in a rural area or, you know, something, or you have nobody coming at you, I guess that, I don't know. I don't know how this is all going to work out, to tell you the truth.
I think it's going to, what are you supposed to drive into the other lane or stop on the highway or stop, you know, stop on the.
I don't know. Anyway, knowing bicyclists, it's kind of weird, this whole bicycle thing. You know, people say, well, like, why don't the bicyclists ride? If you have a bike lane or you have a shoulder of the road, so you have a shoulder, why don't they ride to the right part of the shoulder? And the reason is because all the junk that gets kicked off the road ends up at the right part of the shoulder, you know. And so they're like, well, you know, there's really a lot of junk there.
Yeah.
And so they ride, you know, 2 feet over to the left because they want to avoid all that stuff. That's why they do it. So in case people will say, why are they doing that? I know that's why they do it. But, you know, we get to this thing about, you know, when you have groups of bicyclists and they're not single filing and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's, you know, people get mad about that.
You know, and I see both sides. The bicyclists are very, you know, it's good for the environment. It's, you know, less oil. There's some very good things, but I'll tell you, my dad was riding a bike for a while, and I asked him to stop. I said, you know, I just, please don't. I find it, if you have an accident, you're going to be very hurt usually.
I have a brother-in-law that he used to ride, and this is amazing to me, but it's true. Amazing but true. He rode from Grover Beach on Price Canyon Road, and then all the way out to Cal Poly. He taught at Cal Poly, and he rode that far, from Grover Beach to Cal Poly.
Wow.
And he did it for quite a few years, and he's still around. but I mean, I wouldn't do it. I got it, especially Price Canyon Road, I wouldn't do. You don't have a shoulder on Price Canyon Road. It's kind of nuts. But anyway, but he's, you have to have a lot of faith in other people in order to do that, as far as I'm concerned. And it's faith that I don't have, to tell you the truth, and somebody not hitting me. All right. This is a sad but true story, but I think that people are well aware of this happening. California's uninsured population among the nation's highest at 19.7% and continue to increase, according to a new Census Bureau report. And, of course, part of that would be because we have, immigrants, you know, aliens, people here. They're hand to mouth, you know, jobs they're doing. And so that would increase that automatically. But the other thing is just we're having a tough time. Let me tell you, the uninsured rates range from 3.4% in Massachusetts, which is amazing to me. So apparently, if you want to live in Massachusetts, you better have some dough. And 23.8% in Texas is the highest. So it's just really kind of a scary affair.
And look at the median income fallen for the second year in a row, nationally and in California. And interesting, California, we're just slightly above the mean average. We're not, our median income here is not much. You know, we do not have a higher income than the rest of the nation, on average.
And here's why I think, again, we're going back to the fact that we have California has, like other states do, but we have a lot of service-oriented type businesses in California, tons upon tons of them, of course. And then you take the other half of the thing. They just had an article the other day in the paper. They were talking about how much money housing was up in the Silicon Valley in San Francisco and how much they pay engineers. You know, like Google pays their engineers $140,000. You know, and now what's his name? Zuckerberg's trying to build a whole town for people to live in, his employees. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty amazing the difference and the divergence of what happens with income in this state.
Oh yes, I think we're an average of about 50, and others.
Yeah, we average. They say we have right at 50,054. We'll call it 50. $50,000. California was at 53.3. Maryland top list at 68.8, and South Carolina at 40,000 was at the bottom. And so that's how money's going around the world in the country there. In case you're looking for work, you don't want to go to South Carolina.
I think all the media in this state helps pull it down too.
I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. All right, let me see what else we should have talked about this week. Did we do everything? Search starts for new CSU chief, so it's going to be interesting. Have you seen a published amount of money they're going to pay this guy or girl?
No, I have not. I did hear something, and I'll be putting the story out shortly, but Cal Poly is planning on going to semesters. And they're for a couple different reasons. I think it will help the students graduate.
Right.
And I think it's a good idea because, there four or five that aren't on semesters?
Right.
And they even said with the new summer program, the online programs that they're going to be offering, the schools that aren't on semester wouldn't be able to have the same access. So I think it's a real, I thought that was a really good thing that they're planning on doing. They have a number of reasons. I think it will increase graduation shorten the time to graduation for Cal Poly students.
And that to me is like really super important. I mean, do you know anybody that gets through Cal Poly anymore in 4 years? I don't think there's anybody that could possibly pull it off.
And I was talking to a friend the other day and with her daughter, and she's a sophomore, and she has friends that couldn't get any classes this year. Now, when they just did the fee thing, it's going in this year. It's going in now. So the new fee increase, which was supposed to put the students giving them extra classes, there were kids that couldn't get any. And some that could, one or two classes that they needed was all they could get. I couldn't, it sounds like it's worse than it used to be. instead of better with the...
Well, here's the other thing that's been in the news, and I'm finding it absolutely startling, to tell you the truth, because if you look at what the system was designed to do, and that's the community college system, and now they're saying unless you have the people that are going to be admitted into community college or people that are, have a career course already established, they're taking they're taking classes that they can transfer to, you know, university. So I said it should be called university prep. It's not community college anymore. Community college, the whole idea of community college was that people could take remedial classes, people could take basket weaving, you know, whatever that case may be. You know, they had older people doing stuff and younger people. But, I mean, really, that's what it was about. That's what a community college was about. Well, it's not about that anymore. It's,
and it, I like that. I like where you can go and take – I learned basket weaving. I can actually weave a basket out of pine needles.
I'll never use that example again.
It's kind of fun, actually.
Okay.
It's very laborious.
but no, really, it's it seems completely odd that that's the direction this has gone, because the community supports the community college, and the idea was is that you would have a place to do these things. Because where would you do? There's no place to go now. If you want to take basket weaving now, seriously, where would you go?
That's true.
I mean, there's no place. So that's what the community colleges was for, I thought.
And I took, I remember taking a fiction writing class at a community college, and there was a woman, I think she must have been in her 80s. She was the best in the class, and there were young people at their end of high school. It was, you know, so it was just a real nice group. It was a community. There were people from all through the community,
right.
And many of them were not planning on going, making that part of their living. They just wanted to do the class.
Yeah, it would seem
or
to,
take the class.
It would seem to me that would make sense. I understand where, you know, like when I went to City College, because I was 21, I didn't have to take phys ed, which was kind of great. And but I had to take, are you ready for this? I had just gotten out of the Navy. If I wanted to transfer to one of the universities, the Cal State universities, I had to take health. And I said to the counselor, I said, advisor, I said, you know, if you spent 4 years in the Navy and you don't know what gonorrhea is, then you've somehow missed the boat there. I'm just telling you, I don't really need to take health, do I? He goes, well, yeah, you do if you want to transfer. You had to have health. I was like, okay.
I've taken health.
Okay, that made sense. Well, I took it. It's like, okay, I took it.
Can I do a different announcement that's not news?
Okay? Yes, you may.
Okay. I am starting a new website, and it's going to be a publishing website where people can promote books that they've written. They place them on the site, and it'll show 1,500 words of your story. Other people then can vote on it, 1 to 5, and they can comment on it. And we'll be giving a prize once a month of $2,000 to the person that wins the contest.
Wow.
And so we'll be starting that hopefully in November. And the reason I'm announcing it, if you've had a book that you'd written and you'd like to look at it and pick out 1,500 words, we will have the site up, I'm hoping, around the 1st of November.
So this is stuff that people have written themselves?
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, I think you have a friend that's probably going to try to get a couple grand right there. All right. So no, and we'll remind you, too. When does this start?
We're hoping around the 1st of November.
Okay, so we'll remind you along the way, and because I think that's fun that's happening. And I thank you for coming in today, and that's
thank
our Cal Coast News Week in Review, and I thank you very much.
Thanks.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick in Washington.
There is no doubt these are difficult days.
Today, we bring home four Americans who gave their lives for our country and our values.
President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at Andrews Air Force Base to greet the bodies of four Americans killed in this week's attack in Benghazi, Libya, among them Ambassador Chris Stevens. The transfer of remains ceremony coming on the same day violent protests continued across the Middle East over that anti-Islam video.
It is hard for the American people to make sense of that, because it is senseless.
Clinton said it's been a difficult week for the State Department and for the country. And President Obama said with so much anger and violence, even the most hopeful among us must wonder. With more, here's CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor.
The attack that killed the ambassador and others in Libya, we are learning more about it from CBS's David Martin.
U.S. officials say that it is looking less like a premeditated or pre-planned attack, and more like one which simply took advantage of a demonstration which had sprung up outside the consulate. That doesn't change the fact that it was still a well-executed and well-armed attack.
Martin also reports two 50-man anti-terror teams are now sent to Libya and Yemen. Two more teams, one in Bahrain and one in Spain, are on six-hour alert if necessary. Anti-American protests are still roiling throughout the Muslim world. One dead in Egypt, at least two killed in Tunis, three are dead in Sudan. Campaigning in Ohio today, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney takes part in remembering the four Americans killed in Libya. Here's what he said.
Place your hand over your heart in recognition of the blood shed for freedom by them and by other our other sons and daughters who've lost their lives in the cause of America, in the cause of liberty. And if we'll take a moment of silence together.
Deal or no deal? In the Chicago teacher strike, WBBM reporter Nancy Hardy.
The union has said it has reached the framework for an agreement, but in a tweet and on its Facebook page, the district goes further, saying they have reached a deal and students should prepare to be back in class on Monday.
One more time, the Space Shuttle Endeavour will leave the Kennedy Space Center. CBS's Peter King is there.
Endeavour will be hoisted on top of a 747, which will take it from the East Coast to the West Coast, its new home in Los Angeles. Monday's flight is the beginning of the last flight for Shuttle Endeavour or any space shuttle. There's one more shuttle left, Atlantis, which will be taken by ground from here to the Kennedy Space Center Visitors Complex later this year.
Hey, have you ordered your new iPhone 5? Just hours after starting, Apple has already stopped taking orders. Expected delivery time going from 1 week to 2 weeks to we'll be back. The Dow closes up 53 points. This is CBS News.
Men, would you like to safely and easily lose belly fat without strict diets or rigorous exercise? Clinical studies show that men who boost their testosterone experience amazing results in reduced belly fat. That's right, testosterone melts belly fat. You've probably heard about some of the benefits of boosting testosterone, such as stronger sex drive and sexual performance, more energy, and even lower cholesterol. But chances are you haven't heard that increasing testosterone causes fat loss. Would you like to boost your testosterone and easily lose belly fat? Then try Andro 400. Listen to what Calvin from Las Vegas said.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about 3 months, and I feel amazing. Drop 35 pounds, no aches or pains, and I have a new zest for life.
So men, go to andro400.com today and find out how you can naturally boost your testosterone and lose belly fat easily and inexpensively. That's andro400.com, andro400.com.
It sounds like science fiction. Turns out to be medical fact.
The hope is this could eventually help people suffering from dementia or strokes or other forms of brain injuries. Researcher Robert Hampson at Wake Forest University says he and his colleagues have designed an implant that improved mental capacities and decision-making in monkeys.
We are looking at a means of restoring function in an area of the brain that may be damaged. With the device that we've tested.
Commercial uses could be years away, but experts say it's another step toward helping us know what's really going on inside our brains and how to better fix them when they're damaged. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Wanted, one goat herder with goat herd to trim the grass at O'Hare International Airport, Chicago. The city looking at a pilot program, 30 goats to eat grass and weeds in one kind of hard-to-mow area. It's outside the security fence. No danger of goats straying onto the runways. Atlanta recently started a similar effort. San Francisco's been using goats for years. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment.
And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
It's time to get more from your employee benefits. That's why it's time for United Healthcare. You want quality coverage at the right price. We can help with a broad set of products, including dental, vision, disability, accident, life, and critical illness plans. And when you add medical coverage, you may save time with easier administration. Call your broker today or visit UHC.com. Medical, dental, vision, accident, and critical illness coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates. Critical illness and accident may not be available in all states. Life and disability products provided by United Healthcare Insurance Company, Unimerica Life Insurance Company, and Unimerica Life Insurance Company of New York. Administrative services provided by United Healthcare Services Inc. or its affiliates.
Hey, Dad, what's new at the store these days?
Well, Kelly, there's always something new at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath.
Hey, in case you haven't been paying attention, Pops, I know that Mom is looking to spruce up the master bathroom. So what you thinking?
I'm thinking what's good for Mom is good for Dad. A good place to start is with a new vanity cabinet. And we've just received a fantastic new selection.
That sounds cool.
We've got just about any design or finish you could ask for. So there are tons of choices. And they're all pre-assembled, so they're easy to install.
Uh-oh, I see trouble brewing. But I know you can get her done, Pops.
Gee, thanks, Kel.
And let's not forget, Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the finest selection of knobs and pulls to really make that cabinet really sizzle.
For the finest selection of environmentally friendly premium kitchen and bath fixtures on the Central Coast, come shop at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute fight.
One of us has to come up with a name for this thing sooner or later, and I can think about it, and nothing's coming to me at all. Hi, Jim. Jim Yo. B. from the Palm Theater is here. It's Palm Theater time, and Jim's returned from Toronto. Toronto, do you who's the little girl? Emma Watson. Emma, did you do the Q&A with Emma Watson? She was at the Toronto Film Festival. I saw on TV.
No, I did a Q&A with Dustin Hoffman and Maggie Smith. I didn't. I was in the balcony of this gigantic theater, but he has a film. His first time Dustin Hoffman has directed, and it's a film called Quartet. I want to say it's in the same mold as The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Has Maggie Smith, Tom Courtney, big fan of Tom Courtney's. Billy Connolly is in it, who is absolutely hilarious, and a name that maybe your listeners may not know, but they would know who she portrayed. Pauline Collins is also in this film.
Pauline Collins.
She is Shirley.
Who is it?
Shirley Valentine.
Oh, okay.
I say, hey, it's Shirley Valentine. You know? Hey. That film is called Quartet. It's really charming. Dustin Hoffman directed it. And again, much in the same mold as Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. It comes out at Christmas time, I believe. And I've already been asking the distributor to pick it up. But Toronto is always maybe too ambitious for its own good. It was like between 200 and 300 movies over 10 days. I got back yesterday. It's still going on right now. I think I watched about 35 movies over the past.
And here's this catalog. This is as big as a phone book, without exaggeration. This is the size of our San Luis Obispo phone book. And this is all the movies at the film festival. Now, I just happened to open it to a movie, and here's Storm Surfers in 3D.
Oh, you know, Wendy Edson was there. She has family in Canada.
Oh.
And so I hooked up with her. We had some. We had a drink, and she went to see that one. I'm sure she's going to try to get a 3D surf film for the film festival
in
March.
Okay, because that would, if it's done well, it would have to be really good.
Yeah, there was a number of 3D films I saw. Not that I'm crazy about 3D, there's the book that
This is insane. Yeah. I mean, there's just movie after movie after movie after movie after movie after movie. Now, do you look through this first a little bit?
What I do is when I get there, I thumb through the whole thing, and it takes a little while, and I'm usually just completely lost. By the end of the week, which was yesterday, yesterday it was, you lose track of the days. I mean, truly, Bill, I get up about 7 in the morning. The first screening is like at 8:30 in the morning. You go to a theater the size of the Fremont, and it's full. That's the Toronto Film Festival.
Wow.
And then there's other ones, not so much, but there were a bunch of stars there. And from very commercial films, like the new Ben Affleck film, I didn't see it. It's called Argo. He directed it. He's in it. Comes out in a couple weeks, I think, in the big theaters. Got really, really good reviews. I saw this film called Cloud Atlas with Tom Hanks. Mixed reviews on that one, but that one's coming out in about a month. To very, very obscure things that you'll never, ever see again. But I meet up with a lot of good friends at the Toronto Film Festival. We're all exchanging ideas. And again, seeing 30 to 35 movies, that's pretty insane. And I'm not even scratching the surface, as you can see. I probably saw a 10% of what they were offering. So it's amazing.
Oh, this is curious. This is in here. End of Watch is this movie that's going to come out with the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep.
And the other, well, that's about to come out, is it not?
Yeah, it goes from very commercial films to obscure films that you probably will never see the light of day.
So you mean that regular first-run big cinema-type movies are also there?
Oh, yeah, Ben Affleck was there.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was the independent people.
Yeah, I think Jake Gyllenhaal was there for that film. Mm. And so the big stars are there in droves and directors and so on, but then you'll go from the extremely commercial and stuff that'll come out at the movie theaters to, like I said, extremely obscure films that may not ever, you know, be shown again ever. So
I like the title of this one, The Lesser Blessed. I know what that's like.
Oh, you could thumb through that forever, and you'll just go, what's that?
No, I think this is really quite fascinating. But anyway, there's just a bazillion films in this thing. It's just I don't know how you'd even decide where you're going to go. But now let's talk about, because we mentioned something 3D. So let me mention something that's going on, and I'm going to take heavens forbid that I would say that Disney. Maybe I would, you know, criticize a Disney movie, but I'm going to say this. Nemo, Finding Nemo, is coming out in 3D.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think it starts today.
Okay. They from what I've read, it supposedly is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
You really get an undersea feel on this whole thing, and it's supposed to be very good. Now, in the Ticket magazine, you know, they say the wonderful family entertainment, you know, all that kind of thing, Finding Nemo. It's a lot like a lot of other Disney stuff. It's not necessarily wonderful family entertainment. Mom gets eaten by a shark. Then he gets separated from his dad. You know, there's a lot of kids that find this very unnerving, some of this stuff. And But it's so typical Disney to have this pathos, you know, where there's people missing and the parents aren't there and the thing. Pinocchio, you know, had no parents. He had a Geppetto. I mean, it's weird.
Well, I actually think kids can handle more than we can give them credit for. I mean, how about Bambi? Remember?
Well, yeah, Bambi. Yeah, look at Bambi.
And that had a dark part because Bambi loses her
mother.
Mother.
I think as young children, we all cried and were upset.
Yeah, but it's okay to cry when you're feeling bad for this poor little deer, you know.
Fine.
I don't think we need to protect them that much. Finding Nemo is one of my daughter's favorite Pixar films. So, and Albert Brooks, hey, he does the voice, or one of the many voices, and I'm a big fan of Albert Brooks.
And Ellen DeGeneres did a great job in it, too. I mean, it's a lot of fun cartoon. I mean, I enjoyed the cartoon very much myself.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about younger kids, you know, and how they might feel about it. What else is new that's out? Who's Celeste and Jesse?
I think that one's gone. I think
it's all gone.
Yeah, I think it.
I saw this was because I wanted to see this. But I don't even know. Is the Regal Theater? Is where?
I think Regal owns the theaters in. They own the Festival Cinemas in Rio Grande, and I think they also run the multiplex, which is next to Costco in Santa Maria.
So
Arroyo Grande and Santa Maria are Regal.
I forgot Arroyo Grande. They changed the name of all that at some point. Didn't they pull the name of that and change it?
No, I think they had a problem with putting the marquee out front. They had some sign issues, but it's still called Festival Cinemas,
which is the
original name, but I believe they're owned by Regal.
Oh, okay, because the Paranorman thing is there, the people that did Coraline. And I have to admit, if I could go see a movie, I'd sure like to see that.
I hear that's pretty good, and I think that gets pretty dark as well. It's geared towards kids, but Paranorman, I guess he's into the paranormal, and I think he sees dead people and things
like
that.
Finding Nemo 3D starts today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's some real stinkers, but according to this thing.
Well, Resident Evil, I think it's called number 5, and that's an ongoing franchise. I think that opens too, and that one's in 3D.
It says not yet reviewed. Okay, fine.
That means they probably didn't give it to reviewers to review.
Here's some other stinker. The Possession is a one banger. The Cold Light of Day is a one banger.
Yeah, that Possession, though, they probably made it for very little, and it probably does very well. It's like the Paranormal Activity series where they spend a few million, and it makes like $60 million the first weekend. It's a good investment, at least.
Oh, Finding Nemo 3D, by the way, has gotten a 4-ticket rating, so that's pretty cool.
Pixar has such a good... You know, Brave was their most recent one.
Right.
Most people loved it, but it didn't really bring in the numbers that, like, the first Cars or Toy Story 3, which I think was one of the biggest grossing films last year, that made over $400 million. I think Brave's at about $200 million. And when you talk about Pixar, $200 million is on the low side. So, but you know, what a successful studio.
But interestingly enough, you know, they must have marketed toys and paraphernalia and stuff for this Brave thing.
Oh, it was probably paid for before they showed it in any movie theater.
Anyway, yeah, so that always seems to work for them anyway. Yeah, but Pixar, has Pixar had a miss ever?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, they are very expensive to make. When I see the budgets of some of these things, they are up in the $200 million range, but... Again, like you said, all the offshoots, all the toys, all the, you know, they say George Lucas didn't have to show the Star Wars, like Return of the Jedi or something, in any theater because it was already paid for before he showed it in any movie theater with all the merchandising, I should say, and, you know, video deals and so on and so forth.
How amazing.
That's, you know, you want to pay for
amazing.
It. Paid before you play it.
Just amazing. Now, so you went and saw 35 movies.
About. Yeah.
Now, how many are you bringing in of that 35 you saw? How many of you said, okay, I would want to have people see that?
I would say at least 10 of them. I was on the phone in Toronto, you know, or writing emails to my distributors to try to nail down some of these things, because when you're there also at Toronto, there's daily updates where distributors pick something up. So now you're, oh, gee, you know, this company picked up that movie. It didn't have a distributor, when I saw it.
Right.
So they're always making movie deals and stuff at these film festivals, and you try to see if what's got picked up. And then I was upset that I saw a number of things that didn't get picked up that I liked a lot. So they still may. I mean, we're coming in with a film in about 3 weeks called Samsara. It's this amazing visual thing, kind of like Koyaanisqatsi from many years ago. I saw that last year at Toronto. I saw that a year ago, and it's just coming out now. So sometimes films get picked up during the festival, sometimes shortly afterwards. Sometimes the movie will sit for 2 years and it gets picked up. It's really kind of interesting.
So do they have minions? They have minions out there, these movie people that go and watch all the movies? Or how do they do it?
I would think so. It's sort of like a, you know, scout, you know,
right.
movie scout. They would go to probably film festivals all over the place and try to make that deal where... You know, I mean, one of the fun ones was the Blair Witch Project, which was purchased for $1 million, and it made like $140 million. You know, there was one.
Uh-huh.
It's very interesting. You know, the another very interesting one, The Hurt Locker, played at the Toronto Film Festival about 2 years before it got picked up, and then it became Best Picture. So here's a film that was just sort of in limbo and then picked it up. And then, of course, the greatest story about the Toronto Film Festival is... Slumdog Millionaire. That film was picked up by a distributor. They saw absolutely zero potential for it, and it was going to go straight to video. It played at the Toronto Film Festival. People went crazy for it. It was picked up by 20th Century Fox or Fox Searchlight, grossed $350 million worldwide, and became Best Picture.
Wow.
So that's where, like, an audience at a film festival made a big difference in the fate of a movie, whereas the, you know, you think the distributor, the studio, would have had been a little bit more perceptive. They saw nothing in it. Get it in front of an audience and see what happens.
Now, we'll mention this before we take our break because I think we should. So here we have a situation now, which is everybody's still scratching their head to try to get the details about this movie trailer that was on YouTube that caused this Muslim uprising.
Yeah.
And from what it looks like now is, from what I can see, it's three or four people that have an agenda that, you know, hate the whole Muslim thing, mm-hmm. and they thought that they could get people really upset, and so they did it. They may not have made a whole movie. They may have just made the trailer from what they're saying now.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's amazing. I think what I'm saying is it's amazing that if you say, okay, I'm going to aim something terrible at the right people, and then make and say it's a movie, look at the effect it can have. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
I'm wondering if the makers of the I haven't even seen the film. Of course, they aren't even really showing it. I guess you can go onto some websites and watch it. But I wonder if they even realize that, you know, the power of Facebook. And, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I think we should have respect for other beliefs and things like that. On the other hand, you know, it's kind of a very... powerful, or shall we say, surprising reaction. You know, many, many countries have this.
And here's the interesting thing, though. They had a thing today in the news, and they were talking about this, and they said, you know, it was an editorial, I believe, and it said, if you notice something, that all the activities taking place are people, mostly people that were involved in the Arab Spring uprisings. But if you look at other Muslim countries, you know, Saudi Arabia and Qatar and some of these other people, they're not having this problem. You know, the stronger the central government is, they're saying, the less problem there is as far as people rioting and stuff.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of an interesting thing too. You know, so it becomes an issue of, are people rioting because they're so used to rioting for the last 2 years, they riot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, my feeling on it is, like, if you have a certain belief system or a religion and you're devoted to it, you know, you're a devout fill in the blank, someone can criticize your religion. You just go, well, you know, you can criticize this, but I still believe in it and I'm still going to go to my church of my choice or whatever it may be. And if somebody doesn't like it, how would that really?
Well, here again, once again, we're talking about us. You know, we're talking about America. Speaking of things on film, I read today, as of this just happened a little while ago, that there's a publication in Britain that's coming out with topless photos of Kate Middleton.
Okay.
So in case, you know, I just was warning you, so in case there's a movie put together about the royal family and nudity, you might want to pick that up because it'll probably be very popular. We'll be back.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul. It's cinema for your soul. It truly is the Palm on Palm. And Jim D from the Palm Theater is with me today. And we're talking about, in this next segment, what's going on at the Palm Theater. And we've talked about the Toronto Film Festival. And so total, how many days were you at that?
Let's see. Actually, seven. A couple of travel days on either end. But as soon as I got there, I dove in and started watching movies. I mean, see, that's what you do when you go to this thing, especially in my profession. You just want to soak up as much as you can. And then when you come out, if you see somebody you know, just go, okay, you just came out of something. How was it? You know. So you're always trading ideas, trading reactions to certain films. And, you know, it's a tough call, too, because I saw this new film by Paul Thomas Anderson. It's called The Master. It has Joaquin Phoenix, who is pretty amazing in it. It's supposedly based on Scientology. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays sort of the L. Ron Hubbard character. Now, friends of mine love this movie. I looked at this movie. Incredible cinematography, incredible performances. I mean, the guy really knows how to make movies. The movie didn't really do much for me. The narrative drive was sort of, I didn't think it was that great. Here are my friends saying, man, I got to see that again. It was one of the best movies I've ever seen. And then you read the reviews that are coming out during the Toronto Film Festival, and here's one reviewer that just says, man, this was an empty nothing. And here's another person says it's the best film of the year. So I was sort of in the middle, and most of my friends really loved it. I was not crazy about it. All the elements were there. I think it comes out in a couple weeks or so. So
now, do you ever go and screen a movie with someone else and then discuss it that way?
I meet a lot of friends who have theaters like The Palm across the country.
Right.
So
sometimes you go with them?
Oh, all the time.
You guys go together?
We're staying in the same hotel or something, and we, you know, you're crossing paths with people, and they go, hey, you're going to go see this one? Yeah, let's go see it.
Do you have the same thing happen with that? Do you have people that come out, like you come out of the theater and you go, whatever, and they come out of the theater going, wow, that was the greatest thing in the world?
Exactly. I mean, I saw this film called Cloud Atlas. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's based on a book. It's a kind of a very, very popular book. It's got, like, six stories, and all of the stories in this film, they stretch from the 18th century to the far, far, far future. Playing roles in all the stories, Tom Hanks, Hugh Grant, Halle Berry, Hugo Weaving, and actually it's the director of Run Lola Run and the director of the Matrix films, the Wachowski siblings,
brothers, yeah.
Okay? People came out of it thinking it was one of the most amazing movies ever. During the public screening, which I guess Tom Hanks was at and the directors, I guess it got a standing ovation. I thought it was pretty dreadful myself. So there you go. There you go. And then I had people said it was the greatest thing, and then there were other people said, oh, they were in total agreement with me. So this was a real love-hate film, and it's coming out in about a month.
By the way, I don't care. If anybody tells me they like this movie, there's something wrong with them. I got my DVR and my charter, you know, and I saw, oh, this is coming out, so I DVR'd it. Cowboys and Aliens. That is the most ridiculous movie I have ever seen. No, I'm trying to think of anything I've seen that's even that was just nuts.
Well, you know, that one I thought they were last summer, I think, not this past summer, but I guess it came back out a year ago.
I don't know. Yeah.
And you've got the star power, you've got Harrison Ford, you got Daniel Craig, and the director, why I can't think of his name right now, but he directed the first Iron Man movie, or the first two. It's terrible. He's also an actor, but he did a fantastic job on the first Iron Man. So, hey, how about a science fiction Western? Well, all the anticipation for that movie last summer just went, you know, downhill. It didn't do well at all, which is, I didn't see it, but you're probably confirming that it wasn't very good. I mean, it's flying saucers in the Old West.
It was just sort of preposterous, you know. I mean, it was just too far-fetched, and the funny little beasts were funny little beasts, and it's like, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford, you know, we talked about, somebody else said this to me, because they agreed with me. They said when they saw True Grit, and it was
Jeff Bridges?
Matt Damon.
Oh.
They said they had a hard time, like I said this to you, I said I had a hard time fitting Matt Damon into that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't seem to work. I don't know why. It just didn't work for me to have Matt Damon be a character in that movie. Harrison Ford, I felt a little bit of that with this Cowboys and Aliens thing.
Like he's going through the motions.
It's like, you know, he's done all the Indiana Jones stuff and all that, and you say, well, this would seem to be appropriate for him, you know. But somehow, Daniel Craig fit fine as far as I was concerned, you know, as, mm-hmm. as the cowboy with a funny thing on his wrist. But some other people were like, I don't know.
But, you know, for me, too, Cowboys and Aliens, I remember seeing the trailer, and I thought, okay, if this works, it may be a lot of fun, and then it doesn't pan out. And that's the same way I felt about Cloud Atlas. This incredible trailer, you just go, holy cow, look at the stars in here. It looks like it's super ambitious. And for some people, they just said it was the greatest thing they ever seen. It didn't quite work for me.
Well, what's the movie that just that surprised everybody? I mean, it surprised everybody just because the two people in it was Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts. Remember this movie they did together?
Something Crow. It was like a person's name.
Fred Crow or whatever.
Yeah,
it did no good.
It didn't.
So I didn't even bother to even look. I don't want to see it. If nobody else wants to see it in the theater, I don't want to bother watching on television.
Well, interestingly, we can talk about Cowboys and Aliens. You think the star power of Daniel Craig, who was James Bond, would have brought people into the theater. Harrison Ford didn't work. However, Daniel Craig is in the next
James Bond. And he'll probably do great.
Javier Bardem is the villain, mm-hmm. and comes out in November. The trailer looks fabulous. I'm sure it'll be huge. And there's Daniel Craig in the role. I guess people want to see him. If he does something else, they're a little...
After you see Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men, I don't know if I need to see him in anything else. It's like, oh, just retire now because you did such a good job at that. I don't need to see you do anything else.
Well, he's the next Bond villain. Like I said, it's called Skyfall, and the next Bond looks like it's pretty amazing.
Uh-huh.
So if you like Bond.
Now, we have new movies at the Palm. We have we still have The Intouchables, if you haven't seen it. And this is this movie that Jim has raved about and said how wonderful it is and how much people like it.
Oh.
So it has to go ahead and tell the plot again.
It's a man who is in a wheelchair, and he wants to get a person to take care of him, and he picks a guy who has a tough past and from the streets, and it's based on a true story, and, of course, this relationship of... You know, making the most out of your life. I mean, people have come to see this 2 and 3 times. They love it. And if I have a film, as long as there's people coming in and they like it, we'll hold on to
right,
it.
Right.
This may be the final week, but I think we're in week 8 or 9 with Intouchables. And I'm very grateful to those who have come to see it and coming to see it 2 and 3 times. That's rare these days. So
that's
people
cool.
come back and see a movie
that's
repeated
cool.
times.
Can I let's talk about Sleepwalk with Me, and that starts today.
No, that's been for a week, and that's by this comedian. Oh, geez. Well, he's very connected to
Mike Bibbly.
Yeah, he's a stand-up comic, but he's a part of this show on NPR called This American Life, and I had a lot of requests for this. We did a benefit for KCBX last week and sold out, and people came to see it and did very well. So I was very happy to have a movie that people want to see in September, which
okay,
is
cool.
rare.
All right, so this is, and here's what it says here. His relationship issues plunge him into a sleepwalking disorder that sees him acting out his nightmares.
The character he does on NPR, he has a character in real life, and then he has his sleepwalk character. So,
wow.
But we've had a very good reaction to it. I mean, this whole week I've been gone, but just looking at the numbers the past week, people have come to see Sleepwalk with Me. And so we got that for another week at least.
And Richard Gere is another one.
Arbitrage is what it's called. And, boy, you know, great review from Roger Ebert, but he kind of tells you the whole movie. But it's got Susan Sarandon in it, and he is kind of your CEO gazillionaire who really wants to keep his life together, but he's not doing it very morally upright. He's having an affair. He's losing millions, swindling people, but he's a very slick CEO. And I guess the performance apparently by Richard Gere is great. We just got the print in just before I came here, so I haven't seen that one. But that's gotten very good reviews, and the preview looks good. If you want to know what it's about, check out the Roger Ebert review in The Ticket today. He kind of tells you a little too much, but it's supposed to be a very good film.
Then don't check it out. Just go see it.
Yeah,
don't let Roger Ebert screw it up for you. What the heck? All right. So lots of wonderful things going on at the Palm and the Toronto Film Festival and how exciting the whole thing is. we're, what, 6 months away from our film festival, I guess, from thereabouts?
Yeah, in March, and like I said, Wendy Edson from the film festival, from our film festival, was there, you know, checking things out. And it's always great to have a representative from here to go to that festival because it's very user-friendly. And, of course, she probably saw, you know, some possibilities of great stuff to bring to our film festival.
And I have to say, you know, I've been very impressed with the stuff I've seen at our film festival.
Me too.
Some stuff has just absolutely stunned me. I become like a goofball. So now whenever I meet somebody with red hair, I go, do you know you people are disappearing? There are people with red hair disappearing. And I saw a movie about it. You know, they look at me like, you know, yeah, really? Anyway, but no, it was a fascinating movie, I thought. And the little redheaded lady did as she was in for an interview. Anyway, I think there's been a lot of great stuff at our film festival. That's cool.
Now, if you're going to go to a film festival, just want to just dive in and you will be rewarded, I think, just because, you know, the San Luis Film Festival, the Toronto Film Festival, you know, you just try to absorb as much as you can and you get kind of invigorated when you see a good movie or you realize there's great things happening in cinema. It's always kind of invigorating for me, obviously, right?
The only thing that there's a certain etiquette that in theaters that I'm disturbed that people don't follow, and I see it I think more often than I used to see it, and that's people that will put coats and things on seats as if someone is there,
mm-hmm.
and they're not there. They just don't want to have anybody around them, which is like, well, then sit in the back. Nancy and I usually sit in the way back. That's where we watch movies from, the way back.
Yeah, you can't do that in Toronto because these screenings I go to, again, huge theaters. I mean, there's some small ones too, but I mean, we're talking about giant multiplex where a lot of these screenings takes place. Forget it. It's going to fill up. So that's the nature.
So
I mean.
Be polite. Be polite, would you guys? All right. we will get together again, James, next week. Yay.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Wonderful. We look forward to it. Don't forget to get to the Palm Theater. It's a solar powered. It's got the great popcorn. It's got the great refreshments. It's got the real nice theater. It's got the nice people that take care of you. And get to the Palm this weekend because there's some great things playing.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you coming in today.
See you next week.
As a general rule, noise may damage your hearing if, for instance, you have to shout over background noise to make yourself heard. The damage from too loud of noise makes your ears ring or causes you to have decreased or muffled hearing for several hours after exposure, or if the noise is painful to the ears. Cotton balls or tissue do not protect your hearing. Noise-induced hearing loss typically occurs slowly over a period of time and is painless. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Greetings, fellow travelers and fellow students. This is the Good Doctor. Oh, I love this time of year. All those fresh-faced young Cuesta and Impala kids, so full of life and other effervescent fluids. Takes me back to my old college days at Boyle Green University, then my master's in red beans from Rice, and my doctorate from Oklahoma State. I'm here to impart an important lesson to all you new students who won't find it in any textbook. Number one, your mama ain't here no more, and she ain't gonna cook you no homemade breakfast. Number two, the Bon Ton Creole Cafe has the best homemade breakfast in town and serves it till 2 p.m. And three, Bon Ton Creole Cafe loves you so much, just text the word Gator right now to 68255 and get a free fried green tomato appetizer, courtesy of the Bon Ton Creole Cafe. Well, not your mama, but until you head home with that sack of dirty laundry, we're all you got. 1000 Olive Street, San Louisiana.
Mark your calendar. Sheriff's Family Day is this Saturday on the grounds of the Madonna Inn. And this year, there's lots of new things to see and do. Meet members of the Sheriff's SWAT team, Arrow Squadron, plus police and fire units from around the county. Check out the CHP helicopter and watch demonstrations from canine units, the Bomb Squad Task Force, and much more. And it's free for the entire family. Don't miss Sheriff's Family Day this Saturday on the grounds of the Madonna Inn. It's informative, it's fun, and it's the law.
It's the law. That's the way it is. You're with Bill Benneker. Talk is cheap. Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, and I appreciate you joining me today. We are heading for news there a little bit. We'll see what we have. Matter of fact, there's one story I want to share with you, and then we'll get I'll come back to something else I got to tell you about. Where's my story I wanted to share with you? Right here. By the way, the Kate Middleton thing's true. Apparently, they were on vacation, and some one of these goobs with a big, long lens, you know, took pictures of her frolicking about there in the topless. So now, of course, the people in England are really upset and everything, and all the royal families and everything. They talk about the scandal again with Prince Harry. I didn't think it was that scandalous again, but that's just me. I didn't think that was that big a deal, but I guess people do. All right, let's. Here's the thing I was going to share with you. This guy is known as the elder statesman of acupuncture.
CNN.
Radio.
35 years after California Governor Jerry Brown made his state the first in the nation to legalize acupuncture, he could make legislative history again with the Oriental medical practice. I'm CNN's Jim Roop. Today, there are two bills on Governor Brown's desk awaiting his signature that would make California the first state in the nation to put acupuncture on the list of essential health benefits. That means health insurance must cover acupuncture treatments like it covers x-rays. I mean, dental isn't even considered an essential health benefit. And this, of course, thrills the Eastern medicine community, but probably none more than one of the original legal U.S. acupuncturists, Jacques Moramarco.
I've personally seen the evolution of this profession in California and basically in the United States.
And Moramarco is a true practitioner pioneer in American acupuncture. He's seen it grow in legitimacy in the U.S. over the past 35 years.
I took the very first exam that was administered in the state of California. So I've been licensed in the state of California since 1977.
Moramarco, originally from France, was first exposed to acupuncture when his father received acupuncture treatments for allergies in Paris when Moramarco was just a boy.
At that time, he had no knowledge of acupuncture, and within just a couple of weeks of treatment, he was totally cleared up, virtually cured.
Moramarco was impressed, to be sure, but it wasn't until he moved to this country as a young man in his early 20s that the thought of acupuncture as a profession struck him. Now, he was into martial arts and Eastern philosophy, and so was the king of rock and roll.
Elvis Presley had a ankle injury at that time. It wasn't licensed acupuncturist at that. It was prior to 1966. Right, maybe the year.
Oh, and I'm the type of guy who will never settle down. Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause to me they're all the same. I hug them and I squeeze them, they don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer. Yeah, the Wanderer. I roam around.
This was a Daily Double. It's an audio Daily Double is what I did, because here was the story. And forget the whole thing about the acupuncture thing. Something went to heck in a handbasket. This thing started. I don't know why it did. Anyway, let's not worry about that. Let's just go on with our lives as best we can. And so here was the deal. They had this story in the local section of the Tribune today about the wandering man. A 64-year-old evokes the spirit of the Old West, passes through a short stop in what he says is 3 decades of sojourning on a mule. The guy's 64 years old. He calls himself the Wanderer. He sits on the back of this mule. He got another mule in tow, and he was going down Broad Street. And he just rides around on this burro there and says, okay, I'm having a good time. Mule. I guess it's a mule. Anyway, so that's the deal with the guy. Anyway, so he says that he gets that my whole life has been about the pull of these two poles, the man-made world and the natural world. So that's what he's doing there on the back of that mule. That mule. All right, I got to talk to you about a couple things. One is we have the Pismo Beach. There's a special event that's going on at Pismo Beach, and let me tell you how this thing works. It's tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then it's in. Let me tell you where this is again. New Life Community Church, 990 James Way in Pismo Beach. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be basically a reunion of men from Bravo Company of the 4th and 25th Infantry Division. And they were in a huge mess in Vietnam. And they were they were given the presidential unit citation. About 200 of the 450 people that were in the division are attending, and so or this company. And so the idea is to honor these Vietnam vets for this, you know, what they did, because the presidential unit citation isn't something that's just given out, I've got to tell you. Anyway, so that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and that's at the that's one New Life Community Church, 990 James Way in Pismo Beach tomorrow. So if you get a chance, if you can make it, make it. All right, the other thing I want to tell you about, I want to tell you about Eilers, because Eilers has got a thing going on for you here. And Eilers, because we got the sleep shop that just has everything in the whole wide world, and that's the thing I want to tell you about as soon as I can find it. it's not easy being Benica, I got to tell you the truth. All right, right here. Eilers. Cody Miller's there taking care of you, so go see Cody. And Eilers has a model closeout event. They have free delivery, free setup, free haul away, and it's through September 16th, so you got to get in there. 0% financing for 12 months on approved credit, et cetera, et cetera. And so they got the whole thing right there. They have Sealy mattresses on sale. They have Comfort-Pedic on sale. They have a Comfort-Pedic loft, they call it. Some of these are softer, you know how beds are, but they have all these different kinds, you know. And they have a model closeout of Tempur-Pedic Elites, and they got a Contour Firm and a Cloud Plush that are on sale. And they also have the Tempur-Ergo collection. You can save up to $400 because it'll save you money on the bed part that actually does all the moving and everything like that. We're talking really about Tempur-Pedic mattresses when we're talking about Eilers, but I will mention also they have Lane recliners. Can I mention that? Because I saw one. I sat in one I really liked, I got to tell you. Okay. Anyways, we've got Lane recliners there also. But go to Eilers Sleep Shop. They're right there in the corner across in Short Street and right in the corner there. And they have just really a wonderful display room. And take your time. Take your shoes off. Test drive some beds. Yeah, they're ready to go. They're ready when you're ready. So get ready, get set, go see them. That's what I'm talking about right there. And then we'll talk about this and come back.
Hello, Central Coast. Charter Telephone is now available in your neighborhood. And now's the time to enjoy the savings for yourself.
Hello, Simplicity.
There's no new equipment to buy. You use the same phone and phone jacks. And, of course, you keep the same home phone number.
Hello, Savings.
Charter Telephone includes unlimited nationwide calling, so it's just as easy to call across town as it is across the country.
Hello, Value.
Our plans come with 10 of the most popular features, including caller ID and call waiting. It's like your current phone service in every way, only better. And when you bundle Charter Telephone with Charter Digital Cable and high-speed internet, the savings only get better with one low monthly bill. So what are you waiting for? Answer the call. Charter Telephone is here. Find out more at charter.com or call 1-866-608-4134. Service is not available in all areas. Unlimited long-distance calling includes U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 12/31/07. Call 1-866-608-4134 for details.
Ba-dang, ba-ding. All right, you're with Bill Benica. Here's a little bit of the story here about Kate Middleton, and I don't know what the story's going to actually say, but we'll see if we can get it to come up here and find out what they're talking about today. Royal family, in the news all the time. For all the wrong reasons, it seems like, which is really too bad.
This is George. He is a good little monkey and always very curious. One day, George got an important letter. He's built a rocket ship to travel into space.
Google, how far is Earth to the moon?
Moon is 238,900 miles from...
The great moment had come. 3, 2, 1...
Britain's royal family is dealing with another privacy scandal, this time involving the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. A French magazine has published pictures of a topless Kate Middleton. The photographs were taken when the royal couple were on holiday in France last week. The palace says the Duchess is saddened by the privacy breach. This comes not long after pictures of a naked Prince Harry emerged. The couple are currently on a tour of the Asia Pacific. They're in Malaysia at the moment before heading to the Solomon Islands. Well, CNN's royal correspondent Max Foster is in the Solomon Islands. He joins us now live with more on what's being said is potentially overshadowing the goodwill that they are sensing and they're feeling on their tour right now?
Well, certainly, I would say about 12 hours ago when this news started coming through, some reports that these pictures may be published in a magazine. We didn't know what these pictures would be. We often hear these sorts of rumors, and I spoke to the palace about it. They said they're aware of it, but they didn't know much more at that point. And then a trickle of information over there as they conducted some major events, really, during their tour. They went to see a mosque today in Kuala Lumpur, a major part of this tour. Everyone taking that very seriously, and it was kept secret until the last moment, and that was an important part of the day. But a bit later on, we started hearing the Duchess was upset by these reports of pictures being shown in a French magazine of her in private, very intimate pictures, last weekend when they were on holiday in France.
You sort of imagine that, she'd be upset, and that's just, again, the whole thing about paparazzi, and they can just kind of mess with anybody. It just drives me nuts, but okay. All right, we have in the Mideast, of course, we have just things flaring and going crazy. Rage Against Anti-Islam film spreads, and they say this may not even be a film. The film, it's here in the news today, says it may not exist beyond a clip. And the guy originally claimed he was Jewish. He's not. It's just is an amazing thing. It's just as, it's like that crazy guy that burned the Koran here a while back. You do it just to do it and cause grief. So that's the thing. I'm not sure why these two stories weren't next to each other, but that's okay. Rural fire fee bills are on their way, so 30,000 homes in the county are going to have to pay $115 to $150 each to pay for what it calls the increased cost of fire prevention for outlying residences. And then there was this story. State tax collector criticized for opposition to the fire fee. Republican member of agency charged with collecting the fee plans to join a lawsuit against it. So that's kind of wild and crazy. Republican Board of Equalization member George Runner said he thinks that it's unconstitutional, and he said I'm gonna try to fight it myself. He's supposed to collect it. Okay, well, you never know who you're gonna rile up and how. Gas prices hit the county's pocketbook the hardest. We're paying more for gas right here in San Luis Obispo County than any place else in California right now. Okay. It's all weird. Oh, here's an interesting thing. Remember I told you on Saturday, if you bought on Amazon.com, you would start to pay sales tax. Well, that's not necessarily true. If you buy through Amazon fulfills the order, and it'll say that on the site, Amazon will fulfill this, then you have to pay sales tax. If it's a third-party seller that's out of state, then you're not going to have to pay sales tax. Well, let me put it this way. They're not going to collect the sales tax from you. You, of course, are going to report it on your income tax. But they're not going to collect it. Now, here's a weird thing, because we were talking about Finding Nemo, a 3D thing that's out today and all that. The group says Nemo is endangered. Conservation applied for federal protection as ocean acidity threatens clownfish. So they're saying that things are in bad way for this fish. So we'll see what happens with that. Kennedy Center to honor Hoffman, and as Dustin Hoffman, who he was just seen by our own Jim D. Anyway, Dustin Hoffman will be among recipients of the annual Kennedy Center honors, along with David Letterman, Buddy Guy, Natalia Makarova. All right. And then Kirk Douglas gave twice the amount of money. He was going to pledge $10 million. $5 million initially, and this was for the homeless women, and then he's just increased it to $10 million, which is pretty nice of him, I'll tell you that. Sally Struthers was charged with a DUI. Who hasn't been? I haven't been. So I said it that way to be sarcastic. A Great Dane from Michigan. You should see the size of this dog. I can't show it to you, but anyway, he's a 3-year-old, measures 44 inches from foot to shoulder, standing on his hind legs. He's 7'4". Weighs 155 pounds, eats a 30-pound bag of food every 2 weeks. They're dragging around this dachshund. Have you seen the super fat dachshund that weighs like 70 pounds? Have you seen this thing? 70 pounds. And so it was a shelter animal because they obviously it was removed from somebody's home. That's obviously considered abuse if you just put down a bag of feed in front of the thing and have it eat all day long. But anyway, it's pathetic to see it. I'll say that. They didn't say how far this cat went, but an Ohio woman packed her bags for a Disney vacation. Her cat didn't want to stay behind, so it jumped in the suitcase and made it through screening. And when she unzipped her thing after checking her motel on Monday night, she found the cat. Still shaking, but purring. The cat was like, okay, I'm glad to be with you. I don't think they really, when they screen for stuff in your luggage, I don't think they're actually really like screening for cats, are they? I mean, let's be honest about it. Are they really screening for cats? I don't think they are. But I don't know if there's a special screening for that. But there could be. Anyway, the cat's happy. The cat was happy. And to the cat, it was a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I sure hope you have a wonderful and groovious Maximus weekend. Take care. We'll get together again on Monday. I'm Bill Benneke, thanking you for joining me. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benneke.
Happy trails to you.